Franz Waxman's Music for Rebecca, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, his first film under contract to David O. Selznick in 1940, and here on Kansas Public Radio. Waxman's score was nominated for an Oscar, and it's quite an achievement to consider that he wrote this pretty much simultaneously with the frothy score for The Philadelphia Story. Tonight on Film Music Friday, it's music for Hitchcock films, and later in the hour, Bernard Herrmann's score for a black comedy, The Trouble with Harry. It's amazing to see a list of the composers with whom Hitchcock collaborated. He managed to work with most of the greats in Hollywood, Franz Waxman, Dmitri Tiomkin, Bernard Herrmann, of course, and Miklos Rocha. Rocha appears to have had a fairly contentious relationship with Hitchcock and with producer David O. Selznick. He was hired to write the score for Spellbound in 1944, a thriller starring Gregory Peck and Ingrid Bergman. The story is that both Selznick and Hitchcock hated the music that Rocha created for this film, and they made numerous changes to the score in post-production. The music, however, was an enormous hit, and it often is performed today. In fact, that may have been the problem all along. Maybe Hitchcock felt the music demanded too much of our attention. Anyhow, this is the famous Spellbound Concerto by Miklos Rocha, played by pianist Santiago Rodriguez and the Fairfax Symphony Orchestra on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Spellbound Concerto by Miklos Rocha, composed in 1944 for the film directed by Alfred Hitchcock, and here on KPR. In the original score, the piano part was played by the theremin. This is Film Music Friday, and I'm Darryl Brogdon. Tonight, music for the films of Alfred Hitchcock, and later, a psychopath tries to force an innocent man to commit murder in Strangers on a Train, featuring a score by Dmitri Tiomkin. KPR's virtual Cinema A-Go-Go is back 1 week from tonight, March 20th, with a gruesome double feature that'll make you question your life choices. Among the films this time is The Devil's Hand, in which another scientist gets turned into a boogeyman and he's sorely in need of some moisturizer. It's all free, but you need access credentials. Get them now at kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and at kansaspublicradio.org. That's some of Bernard Herrmann's music for The Trouble with Harry, a black comedy made by Hitchcock in 1955, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was the first of seven films that Herrmann and Hitchcock made together, and it's a quirky black comedy. You see, Harry's trouble is that he's dead, and his neighbors each have a different idea of what should be done with the body. This is Hitchcock's only out-and-out comedy, so the music required a lighter touch, much different than the subsequent scores that Herrmann created for Hitchcock films like Psycho and North by Northwest. Before this hour is up, we'll hear something from Rope, wherein a couple of young intellectuals try to commit the perfect murder. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, home to four floors of public exhibits, including the historic panorama, live snakes, fossils, and more, highlighting past and present life on Earth to educate, engage, and inspire. More at biodiversity.ku.edu. Next, it's one of Hitchcock's greatest films, Strangers on a Train, made in 1951, based on the first novel by Patricia Highsmith. Two strangers meet on a train. One is a psychopath, Bruno Anthony, who has an idea for a murder scheme. He proposes that two strangers essentially swap murders, so because neither has a motive, neither one will be suspected. The second stranger is tennis star Guy Haines, who humors Bruno by pretending to find all this amusing. Only Bruno's not kidding. Music for Strangers on a Train is by Dmitri Tiomkin, who would go on to score two more Hitchcock films. Here is the music of Dmitri Tiomkin for Strangers on a Train, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, here on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Strangers on a Train, 1951. That's music by Dmitri Tiomkin on KPR. Tonight on Film Music Friday, it's music from the films of Alfred Hitchcock. I'm Darrell Brogdon. Later, we'll dive into the scores for films like Vertigo, North by Northwest, and Rear Window. It's all ahead in the 8 o'clock hour tonight. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, buying and selling compact discs, vinyl records, stereo equipment, and more at 822 Mass Street in Lawrence. More at lovegardensounds.com. Film Music Friday's on the air every week on KPR stations. In addition, you can listen again on demand at the KPR website. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org. If you prefer the KPR app, you'll find Film Music Friday in the on-demand offerings, and you can stream it right to your smartphone. And please let us know if you enjoy Film Music Friday or if there's something you'd like to hear in a future program. You can contact us through the KPR website. Again, it's kansaspublicradio.org. Two wealthy thrill seekers murder a colleague and then host a cocktail party with the body barely concealed beneath the buffet. That's the story of Rope, made in 1948 by Alfred Hitchcock with music by David Butthoff. It's Film Music Friday from KPR. I'm Darrell Brogdon. Tonight, Friday the 13th, as it happens, is my last Film Music Friday. I'm retiring from KPR, and starting next week, Jeff Watson will take over as your host of Film Music Friday. NPR News is next, and coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, something from North by Northwest, and then we'll go on to sample scores from some of Hitchcock's most famous films, including Psycho and Rear Window. It's all ahead between 8 and 9 here on KPR.
With Morning Edition, you don't have to wonder where information is coming from. We bring it to you firsthand.
Joey Palacios with Texas Public Radio was there covering that protest and joins us now.
NPR criminal justice correspondent Meg Anderson was at the intersection where it happened, and she's with us now to give us the latest. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning.
Get your news from reporters who see for themselves. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Weekday mornings 5 to 9 on KPR. From the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for News on KPR comes from Friends of the Press, a membership program of the University Press of Kansas that supports the publication of scholarly and regional books. More information at kansaspress.ku.edu. 801, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Israel's military says it struck a large square in Iran's capital as thousands gathered for an annual rally in support of Palestinians. NPR's Carrie Khan reports.
Israel's military says it sent out a warning to Iranians to avoid the area where it said it was destroying military infrastructure. The warning went out on the Israeli military's Farsi social media accounts. It's unlikely many saw the notice as the internet is difficult to access in Iran and often blocked by the government. Captured live on Iranian state TV, the blast occurred close to the huge pro-government rally as a reporter was interviewing a top Iranian official. Immediately after the blast, the official raised his fist defiantly, vowing never to surrender. Videos captured the crowd burning U.S. and Israeli flags. Israel says its air force hit more than 200 Iranian targets in the last 24 hours. Carrie Khan, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Meanwhile, President Trump says the U.S. military, quote, totally obliterated every military target in Iran's crown jewel, Harg Island, and that he didn't wipe out the oil infrastructure there, but that he would if anyone interferes with ships in the Strait of Hormuz. NPR has learned around 2,200 Marines are heading to the Middle East aboard the USS Tripoli, joining an armada of ships taking part in Iran's war. A federal judge has put the brakes on a criminal investigation of the Federal Reserve, and Pierre Scott Horsley reports.
The Justice Department subpoenaed the Federal Reserve back in January, ostensibly to learn more about cost overruns on the central bank's headquarters renovation. But Federal Judge James Boasberg says that's a mere pretext. In a newly unsealed opinion, Boasberg says the Justice Department offered no evidence that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell had committed a crime other than displeasing the president by not moving more aggressively to lower interest rates. At the same time, the judge says there's abundant evidence that the purpose of the criminal probe was to harass and pressure the Fed chairman. The case has become a test of the Fed's ability to set interest rates without political interference from the White House. Republican Senator Tom Tillis, who's defended the Fed, says the ruling confirms how weak and frivolous the government's investigation was. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The Senate advanced a sweeping housing bill. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has more.
Factory-built homes have long been zoned out of cities and suburbs, but more places are relaxing those restrictions to use them for badly needed affordable housing. In Petersburg, Virginia, City Councilman Howard Myers says dozens of such homes are filling vacant lots in an area hit hard by job loss.
This neighborhood has transformed.
Manufactured housing is faster than building on site and nearly half the cost per square foot. That makes a difference for residents like Kenesha, Missouri.
Saving, definitely saving. It makes my life a little easier.
The housing bill in Congress would allow manufactured homes in more places and make it cheaper to build them. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
Wall Street lower by the closing bell. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at ImaginableFutures.com. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. That's a bit of Bernard Herrmann's music for North by Northwest, one of Alfred Hitchcock's finest films, done in 1959, starring Cary Grant. This is Film Music Friday, and tonight we're hearing music from Hitchcock movies. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and coming up in this hour, some of Hitchcock's best-known films, including Rear Window, To Catch a Thief, and, of course, Psycho. For those who may have tuned in late, tonight is my last episode of Film Music Friday. As you may know, I'm retiring from Kansas Public Radio, and while I'm going to continue to do some things, Film Music Friday is just something I do not have the time to continue, unfortunately. But there's good news. Starting next week, my colleague Jeff Watson will be taking over as your host for Film Music Friday, so I hope you'll join Jeff for more music for the silver screen starting next week. Hitchcock was often called the master of suspense, and one of the most important parts of his director's toolkit was the music. There's even a book entitled Hitchcock's Music, which explores in detail the role music plays in all of his films. One of his closest collaborators was Bernard Herrmann, who composed the music for 7 films with Hitchcock, 8 if you count Torn Curtain, in 1964, even though that score was rejected by Hitchcock and led to a final falling out between the two. Their first collaboration was The Trouble with Harry in 1955, followed in short order by The Man Who Knew Too Much, The Wrong Man, and in 1958, the classic Vertigo, starring James Stewart and Kim Novak. This was a tale of obsession and doomed love, and it's said that Herrmann's score was largely inspired by Wagner's opera Tristan und Isolde. Here's Bernard Herrmann conducting the London Philharmonic in his score for Vertigo on KPR's Film Music Friday. From 1958, the music of Vertigo by Bernard Herrmann on Kansas Public Radio. Martin Scorsese had a great quote about this music. He said, "Hitchcock's film is about obsession, which means that it's about circling back to the same moment again and again. And the music is also built around spirals and circles, fulfillment and despair." Herrmann really understood what Hitchcock was going for. He wanted to penetrate to the heart of obsession. We're hearing music for Hitchcock films on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and up ahead, a change of pace from Murder and Obsession with the score for To Catch a Thief.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the First Judicial District CASA Association in Leavenworth, offering supervised visitation and safe custody exchanges through the Child Exchange and Visitation Center. Details at casalvks.org. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
It would be hard to come up with a list of Hitchcock's two or three greatest films, but I bet Rear Window would have a shot at making the list. This was done in 1954. It's based on a short story by Cornell Woolrich about a photographer laid up with a broken leg who spies on his neighbors from his apartment window and begins to suspect that one of them has committed murder. Now, much of the music in Rear Window is what's called source music, that is, music that's also being heard by the characters. So it's often playing from a radio or a record player. Franz Waxman did compose opening and closing themes, plus a lovely piano tune, which is played by one of the neighbors in the film. This is Rear Window on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Music by Franz Waxman for Hitchcock's Rear Window, made in 1954, performed here by the San Diego Symphony, conducted by another esteemed film composer, Lalo Schifrin, on Kansas Public Radio. Still to come, how could you do a show about music from Hitchcock films and not include the score from Psycho? Well, I won't. Stay tuned, it's coming up. I'm Darryl Brogdon, thank you for listening to Film Music Friday, which comes your way each and every week at this time on KPR stations. Say, if you've been listening to KPR for some time now and you've never become a member, consider becoming a sustaining member with an ongoing monthly contribution. The payment can come from a credit card or your bank account. Join KPR's sustaining circle by visiting kansaspublicradio.org or by simply calling 1-888-577-5268, and thank you very much. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's also where you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand. Just go to the website, kansaspublicradio.org, click on Music, and that's where you'll find Film Music Friday.
On Kansas Public Radio, that's music by Lynn Murray for Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief, made in 1955, starring Cary Grant and Grace Kelly. This is a really enjoyable change of pace, less to do with murder and other sordid subjects and more concerned with fun and the wonderful scenery on the Riviera. Cary Grant plays a retired cat burglar who's being framed for a series of jewel robberies. So, of course, he has to find the real culprit. You're with me, Daryl Brogdon, and Film Music Friday. Here on KPR stations, every week we celebrate the music created from movies. And tonight, it's Alfred Hitchcock. Not a composer, but a director, for whom music was an essential piece of every film. Later, we'll hear something from Hitchcock's only remake, The Man Who Knew Too Much, although the remake differs considerably from the original. Okay, well, I said before, we're not leaving out the music from Psycho, a film that was a high point artistically and commercially for both Hitchcock and composer Bernard Herrmann. This was no murder mystery or romantic thriller. This was an outright horror film. Because it was done with a lower budget, Herrmann didn't have the usual orchestral force, so he used a string orchestra to create that sound that's one of the most recognized cues in music. It's interesting, too, that originally Hitchcock didn't want to use music in the famous shower scene where Janet Leigh's Marion is stabbed to death. But Herrmann wrote something for it anyway and persuaded Hitchcock to use it. It's in the film. Here is the memorable music for Psycho by Bernard Herrmann on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
If there's a more gripping piece of film music, I'd certainly like to know what it is. Bernard Herrmann's thrilling, frightening score for Psycho, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Hitchcock always said that at least a third of the success of Psycho is owed to Herrmann's music, which is probably among the greatest film scores ever. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore in downtown Lawrence, hosting events with authors Shellon David, Nicole Woods, Bill Sheldon, and Karen Merriam Goldberg this March. More information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com. It's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. This is Kansas Public Radio. From 1956, more music by Bernard Herrmann for Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much, here on Kansas Public Radio. This is Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. So glad you could join us tonight. And a reminder that tonight is sadly my last Film Music Friday. That's because I'm about to retire from KPR and I just don't have time to continue doing this show as much fun as it is. However, there's good news. Jeff Watson, my colleague here at KPR, will be taking over as your host for Film Music Friday, so you can continue to enjoy Film Music Friday for years to come. Thank you most kindly for spending this time with me here at KPR these past years of Film Music Friday. NPR News is just ahead, followed by Jazz in the Night with Bob McWilliams.
At Morning Edition, we take you to the places where the news is breaking so you get a clear idea of what's happening and why.
The Trump administration repeatedly called the protesters anarchists and insurrectionists, and this is simply not the case. I was there. These protests have been...
Listen for the latest developments on the biggest news stories every weekday morning on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings on KPR, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. President Trump says the U.S. bombed military sites on an island that's vital to Iran's oil network. Trump says the U.S. obliterated targets on Iran's Karg Island, the primary terminal that handles the country's oil exports, warning the island's oil infrastructure could be next. Russia is welcoming a White House decision to temporarily lift sanctions on some of its oil exports for 30 days. The move impacts Russian oil shipments that are already at sea. NPR's Charles Means has more.
Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says U.S. and Russian interests are currently aligned in stabilizing world energy markets. Yet Peskov adds it would take significantly more Russian oil to secure global energy costs over the long term. Meanwhile, the Kremlin's envoy to the White House, Kirill Dmitriev, went a step further. Writing on social media, Dmitriev predicted additional U.S. sanctions relief looked increasingly inevitable. Critics of the change in U.S. policy say it's provided the Kremlin with a windfall for its war in Ukraine at a moment when Russia's economic prospects look grim. Charles Maines, NPR News.
The Pentagon says all six crew members who were aboard the U.S. military refueling plane died in a collision with another plane in western Iraq. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the refueling plane crash-landed while the second plane involved in the collision landed safely.
CENTCOM announced that two U.S. refueling tanker aircraft were involved in an incident in friendly airspace. One of them, a KC-135 tanker, went down in western Iraq, which borders Jordan. The second tanker landed safely. CENTCOM said there was no hostile or friendly fire involved in the mishap. The KC-135 is used to refuel jets in midair and usually carries a small crew of 3 to 6 airmen. Rescue operations continued through the night. Central Command does not identify fallen troops until 24 hours after next of kin have been notified. The Pentagon said bombardment of Iran will continue to intensify and that U.S. forces are targeting Iran's ability to lay mines in the Strait of Hormuz, where a fifth of the world's oil supply transits. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
President Trump signed two executive orders to make housing more affordable. NPR's Stephen Bisaha reports.
One of the orders is all about speeding up home building, namely through deregulation. It orders different agencies to review or eliminate requirements on things like energy efficiency for home construction and to streamline federal approvals around wetlands and stormwater requirements to make it easier to insure homes. Trump's second executive order also loosens up rules around mortgages, including making it easier for smaller banks to give out mortgages. There's also a lot of overlap with the Senate bill. Both use incentives to nudge state and local governments. Changes at that level over zoning rules and building codes can have a much bigger influence on home construction than decisions in Washington. Stephen Bisaha, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
We'll be right back. tenor saxophonist Gregory Groover Jr. kicking off Jazz in the Night on KPR. His tune 551 is from his new album called Old New. The new in the title is K-N-E-W, Old New, Gregory Groover Jr. With Joel Ross playing vice, Paul Cornish at the piano, Harish Raghavan and Kendrick Scott bass and drums. I'm Bob McWilliams. And always a treat to have you with me, or to be here with you on Jazz in the Night. We're going to be hearing from singer Sorella May in about 15 minutes. She sings at the Folly Theater tomorrow night. Right now, one that came out late last year, a really fine album by pianist Ted Rosenthal called High Standards. His version of lots of standards, including this version of It Could Happen to You. Pan's Ted Rosenthal on Kansas Public Radio and his version of the standard It Could Happen to You from his new album High Standards. By the way, the previous track on that album was Everything Happens to Me, so definitely a happening set of tunes from Ted Rosenthal with Martin Wynn bass and drummer Tim Horner. Came out late last year, the album High Standards. And speaking of jazz piano, in about 11 minutes plus out of the vinyl vault, its finest newborn junior, and one of the great early bebop pianists, George Wallington, leads a quintet. We'll hear that next on KPR. Do you own a business and value the programs on Kansas Public Radio? You know, your fellow KPR listeners just could be your best customers. Support KPR, reach those public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Find out more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. One of the first generation of bebop pianists, George Wallington, and he was playing in Dizzy Gillespie's band in 1944 and was right up there with the likes of Al Haig and, of course, the leader of that group, Bud Powell, and one of the very best, George Wallington. We're going to hear him in a 1957 album called Jazz at Hotchkiss, which might make you think it's a live album at the very hoity-toity prep school Hotchkiss, but no. They went and played at Hotchkiss, and they came back to New York the next day and recorded the album. In any event, we're going to hear the George Wallington Quintet, and we're going to hear a tune by Bud Powell and Fats Navarro called Dance of the Infidels.
Thank you.
pianist George Wallington, who was born in Sicily, in Italy, and his name at birth, Giacinto Filia, he took the nickname Wallington when he was in high school. He didn't take it. People gave it to him, but he decided to take it as his stage name when he started performing, which he was doing in the very early genesis of bebop in the first part of the 1940s. We heard him do a fellow bebop musician, Bud Powell, actually two, Fats Navarro and Bud Powell's tune, Dance of the Infidels, from the 1957 album Jazz at Hotchkiss, with a terrific front line of young musicians at the time, Donald Byrd, who was 25, and Phil Woods, who was 26, trumpet and alto sax with Nobby Tota and Nick Stabulous. The wonderful pianist George Wallington on Kansas Public Radio with pianist Finest Newborn Jr., one of the many great pianists to come out of Memphis. We'll hear from Finest momentarily. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, online at kansaspublicradio.org. Singer Sorrel LeMay at the Folly Theater in downtown KC tomorrow night. Let's hear her right now on KPR.
I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came inside, I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again I seemed to feel that old yearning. And I knew the spark of love was to start for that old feeling is still in my heart.
Really nice. That's Sorrel LeMay, her version of That Old Feeling. It's on her album from one decade back called Let's Get Lost. The singer from France performing in the Folly Jazz Series tomorrow night, Folly Theater, downtown Kansas City. Info and tickets at follytheater.org. And we've got on the way a new jazz organ release from Sam Yaw and pianist Lisa Hilton leading a quintet and a new album as well. And up next, into the vinyl vault for the great pianist from Memphis, Finest Newborn Jr., whose career and life were shortened by some health issues, especially mental health issues by Finest Newborn Jr. And in fact, the album we're going to feature, a very fine one on Contemporary Records from 1969. There was a 5-year gap since his previous recording, and recorded heavily from the mid-50s to 64. Did two albums in 69, and then very sporadically after that, as he was in and out of some mental institutions and just really struggling financially as well. But as far as piano technique and just sheer greatness of playing. It's hard to top Finest Newborn Jr. Let's hear him with Ray Brown on bass, Elvin Jones on drums, the blues that Finest wrote called Brentwood Blues, out of the Vinyl Vault on KPR.
Thank you.
Afghanistan's finest newborn junior, his blues called Brentwood Blues, with Ray Brown bass, Elvin Jones drums, from the Vinyl Vault, the 1969 LP Please Send Me Someone to Love Finest, came out of that great Memphis music scene, and no stranger to the blues. In fact, his first band was playing in his father's R&B band, and they were the backing band for the early recordings of one B.B. King. We've got organist Sam Yall up next, pianist Lisa Hilton, and alto saxophonist Jackie McLean. Jackie will play a blues for us, too. Right now, though, Sam Yall with Larry Grenadier and Brian Blade bass and drums, and his version of Just One of Those Things. Thank you. Pianist Lisa Hilton in her new album called Extended Daydream and her composition, Seabirds, with saxophonist J.D. Allen and trumpeter Igmar Thomas, Lucas Curtis playing bass, Rudy Royston on drums. Before that, from the vinyl vault, the 1969 LP called Please Send Me Someone to Love. It's the Memphis piano great Finest Newborn Jr. with Ray Brown and Elvin Jones bass and drums. And that's a Finest tune called Brentwood Blues. And we've got a blues from alto saxophonist Jackie McLean up next here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. Well, 1 week from tonight, it's KPR's next virtual cinema go-go, another pair of awesome monster movies. Hope you'll join us for a free online screening of the classic The Mummy's Hand plus Hand of Death. It's hands down one of our best double features. Admission's free, but you do need to register. You can do that at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering locally grown vegetable starts, cool season flowers, seeds, and growing supplies. Open daily in North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR. Here's Jackie McLean. alto saxophonist Jackie McLean in 1959 for Blue Note Records, an album called Swing, Swang, Swingin', with Walter Bishop Jr. at the piano, Jimmy Garrison and Art Taylor, bass and drums, alto saxophonist Jackie McLean, here on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz in the Night.
Next time on Prairie Journal, as President Trump calls for nationalizing our elections, just how secure are America's election systems?
We haven't adequately and sufficiently funded our election administrators, and that's really the heart of what this report is all about.
We'll hear from the Bolstering Elections Initiative on Prairie Journal, 11 o'clock Sunday morning on Kansas Public Radio.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we'll learn how to belly dance. There's Private Eye Jazz from late 50s TV and something brand new by Exotica Cocktail. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Join me where the music's always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Saturday, 7 p.m. on KPR.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we know you're busy, so we get straight to the point. We go to the people who have the facts, who know the story firsthand, and the decision makers, and we ask the tough questions. So, Bobby, bubble or no bubble?
Is the system ready?
Is that statement true?
Do they have a plan?
What's in the deal?
What does this mean, then, for elections in the fall?
Get to the point with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekday mornings 5 to 9 on KPR. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANB and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Schnute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. A news update next from NPR, then more Jazz in the Night, opening the set of jazz with a Thad Jones tune called Little Pixie. And we're taking this from an all-star celebration of the music of Thad Jones with the likes of clarinetist Eddie Daniels, trombonist John Mosca, saxophonist Frank West, and others. We'll also be stretching out a live performance by the Peter Bernstein Quartet from way back in 2015. We've got the new one from Alexa Tarantino, wonderful young saxophonist. That and more coming your way in this 10 o'clock hour of Jazz in the Night. First, this news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. Israeli airstrikes rocked the heart of Beirut last night as part of Israel's renewed offensive in Lebanon. This after the Iranian-backed militia group Hezbollah launched rockets into northern Israel. Israel says it will not stop until Hezbollah is completely defeated. NPR's Hadal Al-Shashi reports from Beirut.
This was the third Israeli strike to rock the heart of the capital since the war in Iran began. This time it came with the first ever evacuation order for a part of central Beirut. The Israeli military told people within a 300-yard radius of a building in the Bashura neighborhood to leave. An official in the region, not authorized to speak publicly and speaking on condition of anonymity, told NPR the Israeli strike in central Beirut was symbolic, to send a message that Israel will not tolerate Hezbollah's fire much longer. The Lebanese president has called for direct talks with Israel. Israel has not responded publicly. The official said Israel sees positive signs from the Lebanese government to crack down on Hezbollah. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Beirut.
A federal judge in Washington has stopped the Department of Justice from moving ahead on a criminal investigation of the Federal Reserve concerning cost overruns on the renovations at the Reserve's D.C. headquarters. The judge said the investigation was improper, a campaign act by the Trump administration to pressure the Reserve to cut interest rates more aggressively. At a news conference, D.C.'s U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro says she will not back down on the probe.
This judge has put himself at the entrance door to the grand jury, slamming that door shut, irrespective of the legal process, and thus preventing the grand jury from doing the work that it does.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis called the investigation an embarrassment. A federal jury in Fort Worth, Texas, has convicted 9 people on various charges, this in connection with the July 4th shooting outside of an ICE detention center. From member station KERA, Tuluwani Osibamowa reports.
9 people were accused of playing a role in the night that ended in the non-fatal shooting of a police officer outside the Prairie Land Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas. The shooter, Benjamin Song, was convicted of attempted murder. 8 other defendants were convicted on lesser charges, including rioting and providing material support to terrorists. Prosecutors called it a pre-planned attack motivated by the defendant's anarchist, anti-ICE, Antifa, or anti-fascist beliefs. The defendants argued it was planned as a peaceful protest against the Trump administration's immigration policies and that they never intended for things to get violent. For NPR News, I'm Toluwani Osibamowo in Fort Worth.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News. Richard Grenell is being replaced as head of the Kennedy Center, this after numerous artists canceled performances at the iconic Washington, D.C. performing arts venue after President Trump named himself the chairman and took over much of the operation of the facility. Grenell's departure comes as Trump said the Kennedy Center will close for 2 years this summer for renovations. Grenell was a key figure in the Trump efforts to overhaul the facility and his image, which included removing the leadership, installing a handpicked board, and naming himself as the chairman. Cuba says it's in the middle of negotiations with the United States. NPR's Arnie Peralta reports it comes amid a U.S. oil blockade.
During an address on state television, Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel admitted for the first time that the Cuban government was in direct negotiations with the U.S. government. Díaz-Canel said the talks were at the initial stages. He said Cuba was taking a peaceful approach toward finding solutions of, quote, bilateral differences. He did not give any details on the substance of the negotiations. Cuba hasn't received any oil for 3 months now. It means the island has experienced rolling blackouts, leaving hospitals and other public institutions on the brink of collapse. President Trump has said he expects the Cuban government to collapse or negotiate a transition like the one in Venezuela. Ida Peralta, NPR News, Maracaibo, Venezuela.
Stocks finished the week lower amid concerns about the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran. The Dow dropped 119 points, the S&P lost 40, and the NASDAQ lost 206. I'm Dan Rollin, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Thank you.
The Thad Jones composition, Little Pixie, done on an album, a second album of Thad Jones tunes done in honor of Thad. This is called The Summary One More, the music of Thad Jones, Volume 2. And that featured Eddie Daniels as the clarinet player John Mosca on trombone, along with trumpeter Jimmy Owens and the saxophonist, tenor saxophonist, Mr. Frank West, here for you on Jazz in the Night, with music from the Jazz at Lincoln Center show place back in 2015, a double album, live album by guitarist Peter Bernstein. We're going to hear from that next. We've got Alexa Tarantino on the way, and Out of the Vinyl Vault, tenor sax man Warren Marsh. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence, presenting The Cottage, a romantic farce with mistaken identities, secrets, and nonstop hilarity. Played March 13th through the 15th and 19th through the 22nd. Information at theaterlawrence.com. What a band Peter Bernstein took to Jazz at Lincoln Center back in 2015 for this recording. He had Brad Meldow playing piano, Christian McBride on bass, and Gregory Hutchinson on drums. And this is a Peter Bernstein composition called Hidden Pockets on KPR.